Hello and welcome back to the Andrew Haynes Show. Today's episode, we sat down with Chad Collins, the founder and president at Legacy Search. Chad has over 22 years of experience working in professional and minor league team sports. He was previously the director of recruiting for Prodigy Sports, where he successfully recruited and filled numerous mid to senior level roles with the NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB, MILB, collegiate and minor league hockey teams. In 2015, he founded Legacy Search and has been leading an incredibly successful team there ever since. We hope you enjoy. Support for the Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code AGH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code AGH. Your balls will thank you.
All right, we're back for another show. Today is going to be another good one. They're all good, Chad, is what I say. So in my mind, they are. But, you know, I've got a great guest with me. You know, he's worked in the minor league sports, a lot I can relate with. He's worked on the recruiting side, owns his own agency now. So we're going to have a lot of fun kind of seeing how his journey went and try to learn some stuff from Chad. But Chad Collins, the founder and president of Legacy Search. How's it going, Chad?
Great, Andrew. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining me. It's great. It's anytime I see somebody who's kind of put some work in the minors is always worth talking to, because I know the grind. I know the grind.
I'd agree with that. It is a grind, but it is a fun grind. And yeah. I'm so glad that I did start in the minor league sports realm and you know, anything from cleaning bathrooms to, you know, fixing chairs to selling tickets to pulling tarp. It was, you know,
do you wear a mascot? Because
I did. Real quick, funny story. I was with a good buddy of mine, another guy that you should have on your show, Ryan Brock, who's with the Oakview Group. Ryan, it was one of my first days with the Boise Hawks minor league baseball team. And I was right out of college. And so they said, all right, we got to break you in. We're going to this elementary school and you are going to be the mascot. So I had no idea what the mascot's name was. And we went to this elementary school and the kids were asking for autographs. And I didn't know the name of the mascot. So I just started signing the Hawk, the Hawk, the Hawk. And Ryan looked at me, he goes, you idiot. It's Humphrey the Hawk. And I go, well, why didn't you tell me this? So, yeah, that was that. And awesome. All the kids were pulling my tail and everything. What did I sign up to do? So that was one of my first days in minor league baseball with the Boise Hawks single A team here in Boise, where I live.
If you haven't wore the mascot at least one time, I don't know if it really counts. So
no, or been through that aroma, let's say.
It's like hockey gloves,
right?
You know, you put those on, your hands are done for the week. So where'd you end up going to college? Where are you from? Where'd you go to college?
Yeah, I grew up in a town called Vacaville, California. It's in between San Francisco and Sacramento, close to the Napa Valley. And so I grew up there and we had family here in the state of Idaho where I live. So our family vacations would consist of going to Boise and then the surrounding areas and then up to northern Idaho. So, which leads me to we would go and visit all the colleges. We'd go visit, as I grew older, we'd go visit Boise State or we'd go visit the University of Idaho or Pullman, which is right next door in Washington, Washington State University. So long story short is I went to high school in Vacaville. Went to junior college for a couple of years and then transferred up to the University of Idaho in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, and then graduated with a couple of degrees, one in communications and then one in recreation management. So I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought, okay, maybe I'll go to your neck of the woods, actually, which I took an internship in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. And I know it's a great area. I loved it. And I thought my big picture job was going to be running a resort because I was in the resort and activity part of recreation. So quickly found out that there wasn't much money in that to start. And I didn't know if I could live financially in a resort town. So went back home to Vacaville and just was substitute teaching for a while. And then I was approached by a buddy that said, "Hey, the baseball winter meetings are coming up. Do you want to go?" And I thought, well, absolutely. Let's go. It's in New Orleans this year. It's 1997 to age myself, 1997. And we go to New Orleans and it was a fun time, but that's where I landed my first job into sports, was going to the winter meetings and meeting with, two great guys who are personal friends. They're like big buddies or big brothers to me, John Cunningham, and Eric Trapp. So they hired me, to come up and be the stadium operations manager for the Boise Hawks single A team.
Was that something like you thought about before your buddy was like, "Let's go to the league meetings"? Did you have in your mind that sports was an option for you?
Yeah, you know, I was substitute teaching and I was applying for jobs with my hometown teams, the 49ers, the Giants, the Raiders, the Oakland A's, Sacramento Kings, because I was right in between those areas. Each place was only 30 to 60 miles away. I couldn't get in. This was pre-emailing, pre-emailing your resume over. So right. I would literally mail.
Okay.
Exactly. I would fax or mail and just, you know, as one of my friends calls it, spray and pray. Spray your resume out to these teams and pray that you get a call. But I was aggressive. I would follow up with phone calls and handwritten letters and see if I could get in the door. But I mean, I did get a few interviews, but ultimately ended up in Boise with the team here.
So what did you do your first role there?
So I was the stadium operations manager. Not great with my hands. It was fixing seats.
That's working on the job, man. I see how hard those guys work, man. They put it in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had nothing to do. Some people confuse that with the head's groundskeepers, you know, working on the field. That it was anything but
everything else.
The ground. Yes. As you know. And so that it was something. I'm not a handyman by any means. And so I was learning how to fix chairs, put in baby stations and, you know, contract with other folks that could come out. You know, this is minimum budget too. This is low budget. Try to do everything on your own unless you really need help. So I did that and for a season. And then the same organization, Diamond Sports Management, owned and operated a new hockey team in town called the Idaho Steelheads. And they were building a beautiful, fantastic building in downtown Boise called the Grove Hotel and Bank of America Center at that time. So it's kind of like the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas, where it's a hotel. And then, you know, attached to that is a 5,000 seat arena.
What's it called now? The arena?
Now it has been renamed from, CenturyLink Arena now to the Idaho Central Credit Union.
Because our the soccer league that I had a team in, indoor soccer, they played a couple, I think, all-star games there. And they did, like, sold out. They did really well.
Yeah, it has done well with indoor soccer. Whenever they get a friendly, if you will, they do well. Yeah.
So from there, where'd you end up going?
So after the stadium operations summer of 1998, I was asked to either stay on and sell tickets for the Boise Hawks or try something different and sell for the hockey team there. And I thought, well, this might be kind of cool to open up a new facility and slid over to the hockey arena side of things and sold season tickets, groups, suites, anything you could sell ticket-wise. I had no idea what I was doing. I had never sold before, Andrew, and I'll never forget this. They gave me a desk. They gave me a phone book, and little pieces of paper and 30 file folders to put those in. So if, for example, if I made a call, and I said I was going to follow up 2 days later, and let's say it was the 10th, and I was going to follow up November 12th, I'd put that in the file folder and say, okay, I'll follow up with you on the 12th. And I'd pull that file folder.
So that was your CRM program.
Yes. Yes. So you just had to manually do it. And then, you know, we finally got a CRM system called FileMaker Pro, and we were all excited. So there were some growing pains there, but we were very fortunate because we had a lot of first year honeymoon stage folks that wanted to be in the door. So
how did you really transition there? I mean, did you say, man, I'm good at this, I like this, or was it kind of like, hey, it's a job?
No, that's a great question. I've always enjoyed talking to people, and I've never felt uncomfortable doing that. And I think, you know, if people are watching, especially younger generation folks, if you're a people person, sales is for you, and don't let sales confuse you. I mean, it's not, you're just building relationships, really, is all it is. And you know, Andrew, you've been in sales for many years in your career, and it's just the relationships that you build, and not being afraid to ask the questions, not being afraid to ask for the sale. My dad said, when I was growing up, he said, Chad, if you're not asking, you're not getting. And what's the worst they can say is no, or maybe, or not at this time. Yeah. So I felt like I was having some success in sales, and I was doing great. And I started climbing the ladder from an account executive to a senior account executive, then to a director of ticket sales, where I finally had that opportunity to build a staff and really try my hand on managing. So I spent 4 great years with the Idaho Steelheads, and the same guy, Ryan Brock, that I talked to you about, who put me in the costume or the Humphrey the Hawk, he had then transferred, or he'd gotten a job with the Sacramento Kings, and he called me and said, hey, you know, we're having some success down here in Sacramento, and both on the Sacramento Monarchs WNBA side and on the Kings side. We just lost, unfortunately, to the LA Lakers. This is the 2002 Robert Horry shot. And he said, are you interested in coming down? I know you're from Northern California. I could probably help you get an interview. And at that time, I'd spent 4.5 great years with Diamond Sports Management and with the Idaho Steelheads. And I said, what the heck? I want to see what life is like on the NBA side of things. So then my wife and I moved to Northern California and moved to Sacramento and enjoyed some great success in Sacramento and had some fun basketball experience there. So
how was that transition when you went from, you know, minor league, where you probably had, you know, a bunch of different hats, to an organization, you know, in the NBA?
That's a great question. It's that was one thing I had to adjust to, because I was so used to doing anything from on ice promotions in Idaho to community relations, to PR, to marketing, to my main focus was selling, but in working with our food and beverage company, it was, I felt at that time, I mean, I was just a group sales guy. So I was selling anything for the arena, primarily Monarchs. At the time, the Kings were such a popular ticket that it was more just filling the puzzle pieces, and it wasn't much selling. And then just other arena events that would come there, like Disney on Ice and Feld Entertainment activities, Globetrotters and so forth. So to answer your question, you felt a little more departmentalized, but what I did in my career is I would go and ask people what they did. I would go say, hey, Andrew, I know you're in this department, the corporate partnership department. What do you do, and how do you do it? And then I would ask PR and community relations and really try to learn from there. So I think that was the main difference, was just being, you know, you were in ticket sales at that time, and you could go do other things to learn, but you're not, that's not your primary focus.
No, that's good. Well, what took you back to the minor leagues?
Yeah, that's what we did was, my wife had an opportunity to move to San Francisco for a project job with a company called Westfield. They own a ton of malls nationwide. And they were reopening a part of the San Francisco mall, bringing in Bloomingdale's and Nordstrom. And so we went to San Francisco for a couple of years. And from there is where I was looking for work. And I landed with Viacom Sports at that time. And now it's Outfront Media, selling sponsorship. We're the multimedia rights partner on Stanford's campus. So I sold, I learned how to sell sponsorships. That was a good transition for me, going from ticket sales, knowing that for, you know, 7-8 years, to going over to Stanford and selling sponsorships. So that was a great transition for me and a great time. And so we were there for 2 years, and it was a fun learning experience. But then, to answer your question, how did I get back into the minor leagues? We still had our house in Sacramento. We kept, and I had, the key is networking. I would always network.
Number one.
In Sacramento. Yeah. Like, you know, you do as well. And you're active on LinkedIn, which is awesome. And, I had known, a guy named Andy Fisk, who is that at that time was the VP of ticket sales and services for the Sacramento River Cats. And he said, "Hey, we may be having a job come open. It's the director of ticket sales. Are you coming back to Sacramento?" And we said, "Yeah, we are. After this 2-year project job for my wife, we'll come back to Sacramento." And he goes, "Great, let's talk." So that brought me back into a leadership role with the Sacramento River Cats, who had done a tremendous job in the community, had done, you know, where they were out of 160 minor league affiliated teams, they were the number one in attendance for many years. And so I got to walk into that and keep that streak alive, and have a staff of inside sales folks and 4 outside sales folks on the ticket size side of things. And it was great. And my time at the River Cats were nothing but positive. Every step of the way has been amazing. I have no regrets. And you and I were talking about this before the show, is it's the people that you work with. And Andy to this day is, Andy Fisk is one of my good buddies. And I was fortunate enough to fast forward, help him and get a job. And now he's been the general manager with Learfield at the UC Davis campus.
Oh, nice.
Davis, California. So
It's crazy how those relationships, you know, play a part, and just like how important they are, and your actions will either, you know, help with those relationships or hurt.
And yeah, for sure.
You know, everyone I talk to, I mean, it's a common, you know, thread. You want to work with people that, you know and trust, number one, and that you like, that you can work well with. So all those things, you know, are crucial.
For sure. And, one of my colleagues once told me right when I started is, "Hey, don't ever burn a bridge. Even if you didn't work well together, just, you know, kill them with kindness and go out on a good note and do everything that you can and work as hard as you can." And because you never know. I mean, for all you know, this guy that you worked with could have said, "Yeah, he was a good worker. You know, we didn't see eye to eye on some things, but he was a hard worker." Yeah. So,
yeah, no, definitely. Always positive. And then that kind of what brought you back to Idaho? Was that just, you know, you lived there before and.
Yep. No, so my wife is from here in Boise.
Okay.
And after 4.5 great years at the River Cats, the bubble hit, the financial bubble hit. And things were declining on ticket sales. Things were declining on sponsorship sales with the River Cats. And they, and you'll appreciate this, they were a staff of 50 in minor league baseball, which is huge. And so they had to downsize some of us. And unfortunately, I was included. So a lot of the VPs and directors unfortunately, were let go. I mean, not let go, but laid off. And so I decided, okay, I talked to my wife, we want to stay close to one side of the family. My family's in here in Northern California, your family's in Boise. If one of us lands a job, then let's go back up to Boise or the Bay Area or here in Sacramento. And she landed a great job in health insurance with Blue Cross of Idaho. And I of course followed. It was my turn. We kind of switched off.
Turns, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I actually ended up going back to work with my old team, the Idaho Steelheads. And they said, hey, we probably can't pay you what you were making, but we want you to be our VP of business development and sell full menu, sponsorships, season tickets, everything, and mentor some of the younger staff. And I said, geez, I don't know. I may get out of sports here. I may just call it a good sports career and move on. And they kind of lured me back and they said, listen, just give us a couple of years and, you know, we get it if you find something else. But it goes back to the relationship that I had with Eric Trapp, who's a big brother, and John Cunningham, who were big brothers to me in this industry. And they said, just come on back and help us out. And if you find something else, we totally get it. So, which leads me, I did 2 great years with the Steelheads, but then I saw an ad on LinkedIn from another mentor, Scott Carmichael, who with Prodigy Search. And I said, you know what, I'm going to apply for this. I love connecting people. And I sent him a note, interviewed with him for a good hour. We hit it off. And he said, Chad, you know, listen, I'm hiring this director of recruiting, but I need this person to be in office in New Jersey. And I said, Scott, I just moved here from Boise, and I have instant help with our kids at this time. Now we have 2 kids, and I can't. So he goes, well, all right, well, let's keep in touch. And I said, dang, man.
Did you know Scott before that, or was that kind of your first introduction?
It was a cold call, cold interview, emailing back and forth, LinkedIn back and forth. And so Scott and I connected, and finally it was February of 2013. And he calls me and he says, you still want to be in recruiting? Yeah, absolutely. He goes, all right, man. You can do some freelance work for a little bit, commission only. Don't quit your day job with the Idaho Steelheads. Ask for permission and maybe do it, you know, do it on your off hours, maybe your lunch break, maybe after work, before work, whatever. And I'll give you one. I got one with the Florida Panthers. It's with Michael Yormark, and he's very sales driven, and he's looking for a business development person on the sponsorship side. And I said, done. I'll do it. I'll do whatever I need. So I just started searching around on LinkedIn and calling people. And, you know, we were doing well. And I said, by the way, I could probably make a few phone calls and see if we can get some business. I'm friends with some folks at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I could call my old HR director at the Sacramento Kings, and maybe I can get you some business. So we just started working together really well. It was great. He taught me the business, and he finally, after about 6 months of freelancing, commission only, he flew out to Boise and said, you know, you want to do this? And I said, sure. I go, I got to tell you though, I can't move. I cannot move to New Jersey, and I know that's important to you. So he's like, all right, let's just try it out. So I spent 2 fantastic years with Scott and Kevin Carmichael and their crew, and had a great time and learned the industry. It's just, and then, you know, we had great things, but I think, 2 years I just decided, wow, my wife and I had always talked about like being an entrepreneur. And so I decided, you know, 2 years after that, let's try and break off on our own. And so Scott and I amicably split, and I started Legacy Search in 2015, and scared.
That's
scary,
what I
was and nerve wracking.
You know, yeah, it's a big risk, especially
it is. And I asked my wife. I said, "Can we? You know, is this something we could do?" And she said, "You know, we'll be okay for our first year, but so it's." It's been a fun journey, you know, and it's been almost 6 years now. And I think it had to do, Andrew, with the relationships in the industry that I'd either worked with or seen at conferences. So it's been good.
How has it been just from, you know, kind of being on the ticket and partnership sales side that, you know, most of your career to kind of the recruiting side? I mean, I guess it is a lot like sales as well, because, you know, you need to, number one, bring on the clients who have the jobs, but then, you know, fill those spots. But how much of an adjustment was that even while you were with Prodigy, just learning the business?
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's E-G-G-H-E-A-D creativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at eggheadcreativestudio. Now back to the show.
I don't think it was much of an adjustment because I was used to picking up the phone. I was used to sending out emails and cold emails and so forth. So I think there's a lot to it in recruiting is people think, oh, you just post a job and you get 100 applicants. That's not the case.
Right. 100 you're looking for.
Yeah. And you really have to know what your client wants. And they could say, geez, preferably we'd love to have someone in market. They could say something like that. They could say, you know, hey, we'd love 5 to 7 years experience or 10 years experience, someone that can, that brings some national accounts to us, especially if it's a sponsorship role. But I think in my career, Andrew, I'd always enjoyed connecting people. So I used to do it all the time and say, hey, I remember you and I work here at the Kings, but you're from the Texas area. Let me connect you with someone over at the Spurs. And sure enough, they would get hired. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I guess it is. I won't tell my employer that I helped make the introduction, but right. It is cool. It was more just for them to network in case there became a time where they could move back to their hometown or move wherever they wanted to move at that time. So I think I'd already kind of practiced it going into recruiting, and I always enjoyed helping people and connecting people. So and it's something I'm doing today is a lot of what I'm doing right now is because there's not much that I'm working on right now. I mean, there's a few searches I'm working on, but really I'm saying, okay, you want to be in the Tampa, Florida area. Let me connect you with 3 or 4 other people in our industry and, you know, at least just network. So yeah. No, I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, it's huge. And I mean, I know just from like managing, you know, and leading, you know, sales teams. I always got some satisfaction out of helping the sales team progress in their career, you know, and I just had somebody who worked with me up in Virginia. He was my senior sales manager, saw a director role at another baseball team. And I was like, you know, do you want me to reach out for you and, you know, set up a nice intro and, you know, got a nice position. He's back in my hometown of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But it's just very rewarding to be able to have an impact and help people kind of, you know, connect, because I know when I'm looking for somebody too, if you call me Chad, you know, that's going to hold so much more weight than me looking at 100 resumes. And yeah. So those relationships, or even if I don't have a strong relationship with you, I have the respect of your expertise and your background to be like, okay, I need to take a look at this person at least.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what's great about that is I could connect with you and say, hey, I have this job up in the DC market and looks like you worked, Andrew, with this person. Can you give me the good, the bad, the ugly, and just give me everything. I, you know, and let me know. And then I'll let you know my thoughts too. And it's great because there's nothing better than building that marriage, and you just pray that it goes well. And it's, yeah. You know, I always tell people, hey, you know, at least give them a couple years, unless there's something that drastically happens that you guys just don't hit it off, but give them at least 2 to 3 years.
Well, and like, you know, with your business too, I mean, you really can be located anywhere. I mean,
yeah, that's for sure.
That's the nice thing about it. And now with more and more people, you know, getting involved in Zoom and other, you know, tech stuff to help, you know, that might, you know, help that out. Do you guys at Legacy, do you have like a niche or like a specialty that you kind of, you know, feel is your, you know, your wheelhouse?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just give you my last five, almost 6 years has been a lot of sponsorship sellers, whether it's director, senior manager, or just somebody that's getting into sponsorships. Premium has been a big one. Premium sales, selling luxury suites, high level club seats. That's been a big one. You and I talked before the show too, is minor league baseball and hockey. Filling some GM roles, president's roles, both on MILB and the independent leagues. So, and then the one that's really come on over the last 2 years has been the analytics, not on the player development side, right, but on the business.
Yeah.
You know, CRM, database, how can I help the sales team type of roles. So that has, and then obviously the ticketing, director of ticket sales. So those are that's kind of been my niche over the last 5 years. I've also broke off and done, you know, like a director of marketing for a client, which is called Infinite Scale. They're an agency out of Salt Lake. So, and then I've also taken on a security role, security or taken a look at graphic design. I've taken a look at you know, stadium ops positions too. So where I come from, where I first started. So yeah, that's kind of been the niche job roles that I've filled over the last almost 6 years.
When you're out, like, you know, kind of going through the process, I mean, are you typically doing more like outbound? So like you're reaching out to these teams, or are you at a point now where, you know, you're established enough where it's 50-50 teams calling you and you kind of being on top of it? Like, how does all that process work?
Yeah, that. So right now I'm in business development mode, and you know, have a few searches like I mentioned, but right now just calling, and you can't be tone deaf either with these calls, because a lot of these teams have laid off or furloughed their employees, so you just kind of see, you just type call the VPs or the CROs or sometimes the owners, and just see what if they ever have a need coming up. You know, I could see this really coming back fast and furious here in the next 6 to 9 months. I hope. And you know, I think teams are going to have to rebuild their ticket sales staffs, rebuild their sponsorship staffs, maybe their marketing. You know, so I'm ready. To use baseball terms, I'm ready. I'm warming up in the pen right now.
Right.
Close some things out.
What are you doing now to kind of position yourself there? Like, are you starting to kind of like put together like a database of, you know, people who are out of work, or, you know, resumes, or, are you more focused on the team side of things?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have a ton of great candidates ready. But right now I do those calls daily, but it's more focusing on, how can I help in the near future? How can Legacy Search help you? Do you know when that may be? And a lot of people, they don't know, they're hoping the first of the year.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing.
The scary part though is nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to look, who knows what this is going to look like. You know, you and I know the ticket sales side of things, and you know, is there going to be a traditional inside sales program, or are there going to be less account executives? We don't know.
I do think, I think teams are going to look at potentially outsourcing a little bit more than normal coming out of this. And I think at least in the short term, because at the minor league level, that's really what I know is, a lot of teams dropped staff down to zero or only a few on the sales side. And so, you know, teams and GMs and owners, they need to realize that, you know, the sales process, you know, it's not instant. So it takes time to get that, you know, that wheel moving again. So, you know, I've been getting a lot more calls from people looking to outsource, you know, things and not have as big of a risk until they know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's I mean, even on the major league level too, there's, we talked about this before. I mean, a lot of baseball teams had to, major league baseball teams had to lay off their ticket sales staff or other folks, maybe some managers as well, and run a little bit more skeleton crew.
What's kind of one of the most memorable, you know, placements that you've been a part of? There's got to be a couple good stories out there.
Yeah, there's some really good ones. Let's see. I had a candidate that, so I had a, it was one where it was a client and then he ended up turning into a candidate. Sounds weird, but follow me on this one. So, I had, and I can throw his name out there. Jonathan Kelly, now a friend of mine who we keep in touch with, once every month, he was with the Seattle Mariners. They had hired me to look for a, this is right when I first started in 2015. They had hired me to find a premium sales rep. So Jonathan is very detail oriented, very good. And so he and I worked together, but he was from the East Coast. So he then left the Mariners. So we placed somebody, a premium sales rep. He then goes to the Brooklyn Nets and is their director of ticket sales. And he'd been there for a couple of years. And I just called him. I said, listen, I know you've only been there for a few years and I don't like to take people away, especially if they've only been a year or two, but it, you know, I do have this senior director of premium and analytics. And I know you're very analytical, you know your stuff, and it's with the New York City Football Club. And so, and they were really looking for, hey, it'd be great to have somebody in market that knows this New York market. And I had such a good relationship with Jonathan that I said, listen, at least take the interview and see how it goes. And I can only tell you so much, but you, Mike Corino is a good guy. He's their VP of ticket sales and he knows his stuff. He's a big soccer guy. To, you know, go talk to him. And so they did and they hit it off. And next thing you know, he's the new senior director of premium and analytics. And it's like, wow, this is cool. This is, I can't believe I worked with him on the client side with the Mariners. Now I'm placing him as a candidate. And that was fun. And then I'd also shared with you that my former boss, Andy Fisk, with at the Sacramento River Cats. Fast forward, I have a long, great relationship with Learfield IMG College, and I end up placing Andy as the GM of UC Davis to sell sponsorships there on campus. It's a new campus to Learfield. He opens up the campus, starts selling sponsorships from basically ground zero. And so those were two of my favorites, where people I had working relationships with, I was able to place them.
Yeah. I would think that, you know, as you, you know, as time goes on, there's going to be a lot of that, you know, a lot of like, hey, I placed somebody here and now, you know, there's a couple roles that they're going to fill in the future. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is nice too, that, you know, somebody that they're, you know, their work ethic, or you worked with them, or, you know, their work ethic, you know, how they're going to do. And so those are the ones you're like, oh my gosh, boom, talk to, you know, you got to talk to Jonathan Kelly over at Brooklyn Nets, or boom, you got to talk to Andy Fisk. He's great. So, yeah.
What advice would you give, you know, people who are maybe out of work right now, you know, due to COVID, like what, you know, what should they be doing now? What can they do now to put them in the best position?
In my opinion, their brand. Really button it up on LinkedIn, get a nice picture, if they don't already have one, revise that, go through everything. That would be number one. And number two would be to network, just network, network, network. I get calls, like I mentioned earlier, is I get calls and I try to connect people. I'm a connector by heart. And if someone's in a certain market and they want to stay in that market or they want to move to a different market, hey, here's who I know. And connect with them on LinkedIn. Feel free to use my name. If I'm trusting of this person that's on the other line, use my name, or I'm happy to send an intro email to you both, and you guys can take it from there. So I think networking, LinkedIn, and you know, I was sharing this with someone else too, is hey, it's okay if you take a Band-Aid job right now for the next year or two until things come back. I don't think recruiters are going to look at you any differently. Like, well, why did you, cause it used to be, you know, pre COVID is why'd you jump here? Why'd you get out of sports and now you want to come back? Tell me about that. And we really try to, as recruiters, dive into that, because we don't want somebody that's just going to jump into the sports job for 6 months and say, yeah, there was a reason I got out of sports. So I think here's where you have the hall pass is, take these next year or two, however long this is going to take to heal, and go do something else if you have to, because we get it. We, as recruiters, we understand that you got to pay rent, you got to pay mortgage, you got to pay the child's schools or daycare or whatever. So so it's very understandable right now.
Yeah, I think looking at a resume now and you seeing a gap here is not anything to really worry about. I mean, it's a lot of people are out of work due to no fault of their own. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't know if you had a chance to check out my Friday series that I do, but I highlight people who have lost their jobs due to COVID. And, you know, they're short little videos, but just to try to get them, you know, some extra exposure, you know, during this time, and then try to connect. And we've had some good success with getting people, you know, hired. So it's been a lot of fun, but, you know, as you start filling some positions, check out some of those people. There's some good ones on there too.
You know, it's major. Yes, that's fantastic. What a great thing that you're doing. And, you know, longtime partner of ours, Legacy Searches with Learfield IMG College, they did the same type of thing where they put everybody that was unfortunately let go or laid off. They did a little bio for each of them, and then
cool.
You know, it's like a bank that people can go and look at and say, oh wow, so and so's unemployed or looking. So
I thought that was pretty cool when I saw they did that. I mean, that's a great. I have really liked what I've seen from Learfield from the outside. They look like a great company to be part of, and I know I looked at a couple of positions with them over the years, and you know, they're still having some growth, and hopefully college sports gets back, you know, full tilt soon. Everything really.
I agree.
Kind of the changes in, you know, times, you know, have you seen like new things pop up? You know, are you doing anything in the esports side? Or is that an area that you're going to look at? Cause I know that's really, you know, exploding. And then I've noticed recently a lot of teams and organizations looking at, you know, like a diversity, you know, person or, you know, someone in that kind of role, a people role for teams. Do you see anything else? And are you looking to get involved in those areas as well?
Yeah, would love to. Obviously, it's something that I'm starting to have conversations with. If I'm talking to some hiring managers with teams, I am asking about if there's any other new roles that are coming up. If there's, it's just getting in the door too with a lot of the HR folks, and so most of these teams have internal recruiters okay already. So. But that's great. I always say, hey, if I can ever help, or if you get overloaded, I'd love to help. We'd love to help myself and my partner, my business, you know, who's my VP of recruiting, Tony Whiteford, who I also want to give a shout out to, because he does a fantastic job. It's, you know, it's been, we're plugging along. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's all, you know, everyone can really do, you know, at this point. How about, do teams and, you know, organizations that hire you, is it more because it's a hard to find candidate, like they're having trouble finding it, or is it just that, you know, you're the go-to person for it? Like what goes into that process on their end?
I think it's both. I think it's they've sent it out on Teamwork Online. They're not getting the types of candidates that they're really interested in. And they don't really have time to go through. I always say, listen, I can save you a lot of time. I can narrow this down from 100 resumes down to 3 to 5 people. And I can use, and I kind of have that insight of relationships that I can call upon. So maybe I had a candidate a year ago applying for a job in sponsorship sales and was looking for a change. So I have that insight on some of these candidates that are maybe looking, or I just have relationships with, or I'll just call. Literally it's calling people and okay, if you're not interested,
checking in. Yeah.
Who else? I'm just checking in first and foremost, see how you're doing. But anyone else I should be talking to that might be interested in this position with XYZ organization. So I think it's a lot of it is saving them time. And listen, give me it 2, 3, 4 weeks and I will present you 3 to 4 great candidates and who are fit the salary, who are willing to relocate because of, you know, maybe family, maybe their wife is from that area. Maybe they went to college in that area. I'll narrow it down, because recruiting is just relationships, and it's a puzzle too. You can only control the controllables. I mean, that's the difference between sales and people, is I can control a sale to an extent, right? But I can't control what's going on in someone's mind, because I've had people that have said, yes, absolutely, I'm moving and I'm taking this job. And then all of a sudden they go dark. And I'm like, whoa, to use like, my daughter's,
man, you wanted this thing.
Yeah, to use my daughter's term, you just got ghosted. So
that's
it's tough. But again, you can only control the controllables, and,
right,
and you can't control what someone's, you know.
How many people do you kind of, is there like a number, like, hey, I'm going to interview 10 people typically for this, and then out of those 10, I'll drop it down to 5 or whatever you got to send to the team. Is it pretty set, or does that vary?
It varies. Sometimes I'll have 10 candidates and I have to narrow it down because the client only wants to see 5. And it's hard, right? Because you still have to keep them on standby. And I know it sounds horrible, but if 3 of those, and they say, well, can you bring us 2 more? I also, oh, well, yeah, let me go back to that original 10. And then there's some jobs where, boy, you're fishing. You're looking for some nibbles. And you would think, and you've seen some of my posts we've talked about and on LinkedIn and Twitter, and I'll post the majority of them just to kind of see who may or may not be interested. But a lot of times just getting on the phone and with the relationships that you have, and if not, or you see someone that's up and coming, or you've heard of someone's name, hey, I'm going to talk to this guy and let him know about this opportunity.
What's the typical like time process from when you take a position on until it's filled?
Boy, I could say anywhere between a month to, majority are a month or two, but they can go longer. They can, it really depends on the urgency on the team side and the hiring manager, because I've dealt with hiring managers that are, all right, let's fly this person out tomorrow. Right. Or I say, oh yeah, we'll fly them out in a couple of weeks. I always err on the side of urgency, because you're going to lose the candidate's excitement if you wait too long. So, yeah, okay, let's fly them out this week or next week. And okay, that's cool. It's moving right along. But the longer it waits, the longer the candidate becomes disinterested, unless they're in a bad situation.
Yeah. Well, Chad, I appreciate you joining me. Check out legacysportssearch.com. Connect with Chad. He's good. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've reached out to Chad probably 5 years ago, maybe was the first time. And he was nice enough to, email. And I think we had a few small chats. So reach out, whether you're a team or someone that's, looking to develop your career. He's a good resource to have.
For sure. Yeah. Please link in with me or send me an email, chat@legacysportssearch.com. And Andrew, can't thank you enough. And good to, I know, like you'd mentioned, we've had many, small chats and emails and stuff. So it's great to finally connect and be live with you here.
Yeah. No, we'll keep in touch.
All right. Absolutely.
Hey, podcast fans, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.